I'm not sure why we don't do this, Catholics, but very often you drive past a Protestant church and you get the coming attractions for Sunday, which is the sermon title. And if there was one for today, I would put out on the front of the church the following title: God's Holy Mountain We Ascend, but the descent can be treacherous. As many of you know, I spend my waking hours at Catholic University teaching about liturgy and sacraments, and today's gospel is one of those I have written about and spoken about with my students, because it seems to me that's what the act of liturgy is. We ascend God's mountain and experience God in a very, very important way through Christ, and then we descend the mountain to live what we celebrate. Sounds easy, but the descent can be treacherous. I was in the Holy Land in January this past year on a pilgrimage, and I asked the tour director, could we add one stop at Mount Tabor? When there's a mountain in the Bible, you know something is up in terms of a great revelation. Mount Ararat, Moriah, Sinai, Carmel, Olivet, Tabor, the Mount of the Beatitudes. Now, to get there, it's a very, very treacherous road. It's a zigzag road. Worse, I would say, than the famous one in San Francisco. And the taxi drivers love to scare you, making hairpin turns. But if going up is a problem, they have more fun coming down the mountain. The Bible says, who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? We ascend God's holy mountain every time we celebrate the liturgy, and we descend again and again and again. I often have been known to say that, look at your hymnal today. The hymnal is called Gather. We gather to sing, we gather to praise God. I would like to write the hymnal entitled Disperse. We come to be sanctified, to go again, and to live what we celebrate. Peter, James, and John, privileged to experience the transfiguration. Moses and Elijah, they would summarize the law and the prophets. Everything they learned about is now summarized not in Moses and Elijah, but in God's only Son. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen. The art of listening is not simply an art of the auditory nerve. The art of listening is an affair of the heart. And that kind of listening takes effort, discipline, and the willingness to listen to the other. And yes, when it's God's word, it's about obedience and living what that word of God says. So, Peter, James, and John, let us build three tents here. They got it completely wrong. But why not build three tents? Who wouldn't mind being on the mountain all the time? You needn't deal with the muck of life. Even in monasteries, it's ora and labora. You gotta do something else. You can't get stuck. You can't freeze the frame on the transfiguration. You gotta go back down and live that. And that, of course, is the challenge. Listen to him, an affair of the heart. In 1996, a book was published entitled Everest, about preparations for this team trying to ascend Mount Everest. The team, internet, communications, all kinds of things, how to do that, pacing themselves up and up and down, up and up the mountain. But it turns out, the most difficult thing about Everest is coming down again. And in fact, part of the plot is the lead mountain climber lost his life helping one person get to the top and get down again. He lost his life helping someone come down the mountain. That's how treacherous it is. The dynamic of liturgy is we come to be sent forth to do what? To love and serve the Lord. to announce the gospel of the Lord, glorify the Lord by your life. That's why we come, to go again. 6 years ago, this coming Tuesday, Pope Francis was inaugurated as the Pope in St. Peter's. And in the homily, he spoke about St. Joseph, whose feast it is, and he said, Joseph was the one who cared for the Holy Family. St. Joseph cares for us. We must care for each other, and we must care for creation. In that moment, I thought to myself, this will come back. This Pope will say to us again and again, we live in this common home. We must take care of it. His Lenten message this year is about creation. Let me offer three thoughts about creation from Laudato Si, his encyclical, and think about how we are obeying and living in life what we celebrate. The first one is, what about food distribution? 5 years ago, in Hampton Sydney College in rural Virginia, it was graduation weekend, and there was a gathering of the families, and there was a cocktail party being held, but one of the sets of families decided they would not go to the public cocktail party, they would go to the frat house of their sons, have the party there. Of course, that meant they went the day before to clean the frat house. They have graduation, the cocktail party, along comes their equivalent of Ridgewells. There were no Costco cheese bits here. This was a high-end thing. And in come the boys. Parents delighted about graduation, high-end cocktail party, enjoying it. But the boys had been to a previous party. And they were no longer thirsty. And they began a food fight. 5 miles away is Feedmore Extension trying to feed those without food in that part of Virginia. But the Hampton City graduates took every morsel of food and threw it around the building. Depending on the survey, 1 in 5 or 1 in 7 goes to bed hungry every night. And 1/3 of all food that is produced is thrown away. Lent is a time to put food into proper perspective. Not just personally, but how do we deal with food? And frankly, it's also a time to realize that sometime in their lives, 3% of women and 2% of men have eating disorders. Put food in perspective. Number two, the Pope speaks about the right to potable water. Potable water. This week, one of my uninvited emails told me that I could look at the 50 top films on my Amazon Prime list. Now, did I know I had that? No. But nothing to do, I went through the list, and it turns out that number 8 is Chinatown, Roman Polanski's movie, Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway. But getting through all the family stuff, you realize that the movie ends on who controls the water. If you go to Palestine and Israel, the issue is who controls the water. In the Middle East, water is the new oil. How do we deal with water? Breaks my heart when I go back to New York to visit in the springtime. Invariably taking a walk in the morning, you walk up and down the east side of Manhattan, and there are doormen watering down the front entrances to co-op apartments. An hour ago, I walked past Rocklands on Wisconsin Avenue, and the gentleman was watering down the sidewalk. It's a sidewalk, not a table. It's a sidewalk. How many don't have potable water in this world? How many of us run an empty dishwasher? What about water? Matt Damon, water.org. How can we help the water crisis in our world? and not abuse water as some of us do. And lastly, migration. Always the Pope links up migration when it comes to life issues and when it comes to creation. Talks about the poor, talks about those who move because of economic hardship. We talk about migration as though it's a theory, but every person trying to migrate is an image and likeness of God. How do we revere each other, avoiding hate speech or gossip? And this week, one more time, we mourn the loss of people at a house of worship. Paradoxically, the name of the city is Christ Church. Beautiful town, lovely college campus, magnificent Anglican cathedral, Roman Catholic church. 50 have died because of a terrorist attack. How do we talk about each other? How do we deal with each other? How do we revere each other who might be of a different gender, a different orientation, a different religion? God's holy mountain we ascend, but the descent can be treacherous to live in life. But we celebrate here. We come in a few moments to this altar to be fed once again, word and altar, to be strengthened on the transfigured, resurrected Christ, not just to understand, but to experience God and to become like God at this altar. That's why this whole thing matters. We become like God in this building so we can become like God outside this building. God's holy mountain we ascend. The descent can be treacherous.